Anyway, look up there, and where we're studying the book of Isaiah, remember?
Isaiah is written about what time? Anybody remember? 27 and 800 B.C., okay? That's a long time ago.
So, we have Isaiah up there, Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. Go there again. Now, I want to ask you this. Last week I gave you a test in the beginning of the class.
Now, where's that Brett? Oh, he's back there. They asked me on the we've sent out videos and everything. Who's that guy that keeps running back there and turning that microwave on and everything? Yeah, running around and acting like, hey, why don't you knock him in the head? Quiet. Quietly. Okay. Anyway, Brett, you didn't get in here early enough last week to get this. I asked you last week, I said, where are three dual prophecies in the Bible? Dual prophecies. Okay, dual prophecy. You weren't here. In other words, it talks about two different things. Remember? Okay. I gave three last week. Do you remember what they were? Any of them?
Isaiah.
Brother Fernando. Isaiah 14. Ezekiel 28. All right.
All right, that was that, and then we looked at the place where it talked about a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. We looked at that last week. We looked at the different words between Bethula and Alma in the Hebrew. Okay, we looked at those dual prophecies. The first one was fulfilled in Isaiah's day. The second one, when they translated the Septuagint, the word was Alma, which means a sexually mature girl. It didn't mean virgin to begin with. There was a woman that had a child in Isaiah's time, and this child was born, and these prophecies came about. But the second part of that duel prophecy was talking about Jesus. And when in the Septuagint, when they translate it, Bethula, that's the word for virgin. That's not the word that was there. Okay, but the second time when they translated into the Septuagint, that's the word for Septuagint right there. It used the word Parthenos, which means virgin, because the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Okay, now Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Let's go to Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. Someone read that for me. Okay, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. Or anybody there? Brother David.
Isaiah.
Uh-huh.
14.
Yeah.
Through. How have you fallen from heaven? Is that right?
Yeah.
O star of the morning, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend.
Okay, now this is a dual prophecy. Duel. Double prophecy. Two different things. He's talking about two different people. One of them was the king of what? The king of Babylon. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you something. A whole lot of this doesn't really apply to the king of Babylon, but to whom? Satan. All right? But it's a dual prophecy, a double prophecy. Okay? Go ahead. Lucifer, son of the morning. In other words, Lucifer meant light carrier. Before he sinned and before he fell, he was the light of the universe. Did you know that? He was the light carrier. He's the one that lit the universe up. He was like a reflection of God. God's glory. God made him, and to some extent, as a... He was an archangel, which means a head angel. Okay? And that he was supposed to lead out in the worship of God. That's who he was. Lead out in the worship of God. And his name was Lucifer, or light carrier. Well, when he sinned, he brought darkness over the earth. Genesis 1:1, Barashit bara Elohim, et hashamayim v'et ha'aretz, is what it says in Hebrew. In one of the beginnings, created God and completely finished the heavens and the earth. And then the earth, she became formless and void. That's when Lucifer was no longer the light carrier, but the carrier of darkness. Okay?
everything became dark. And every time in the New Testament where it talks about the evil kingdoms and the kingdom of Satan, is it called the kingdom of what? Of darkness. All right? Go ahead, who's reading that?
Okay. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north.
Okay, now this is where heaven is. If you want to know where heaven is, this is where heaven is. Here's the earth. All right? Now down below the earth is Sheol. When everybody died, they went into a place. Before Jesus, they went into a place called Sheol. All right? In New Testament, it's called Hades. All right? Hades. We got our word hell from Hades or Hades, okay? And then up above the earth, here's the earth, up above the earth, way up yonder in the third heaven is the abode of God, and that is what we call heaven. Heaven, Uranos, actually Uranos, or Hashemayim. Hashemayim, all right? That's where the abode of God is, okay? Up in the third heaven. Now, I have to do all this, Brother X, before we get to the book of Revelation. We're not going to understand it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Since Jesus rose after his crucifixion,
right here,
do we go to Sheol now?
No. When we die, we go to heaven.
Yeah.
Because Jesus rose. He took all of Sheol, paradise side of Sheol, with him up here when he rose from the dead. It went to heaven. Now when you die, you go to heaven, if you're saved.
Is that Abraham's bosom?
This was Abraham's bosom down here. He took Abraham's bosom, paradise, and put it up here in the third heaven. Now, the reason why they didn't go to the third heaven before Jesus came to the earth is why? Why didn't people, when they died, go to the third heaven where the abode of God was before Jesus died? What? No. That's New Jerusalem, brother. He hadn't died for them yet. So the promise was there. Genesis 3:15 promised that Jesus would die. And he would purchase us. The whole book of Ruth tells us about the kinsman redeemer. Okay? He would be our kinsman redeemer. But before here, everybody that lived from all the way back here, from the garden up to Christ, when they died, if they were saved, if they had believed in God, they went to Sheol. Now, Sheol had a place of paradise and on one side and the place of suffering or torments on the other. All right? It's also called Hades. Hades or Sheol. Hades means the place not seen. Sheol means the place asked about. All right? Saul, the name Saul, comes from Sheol. It means the one asked for, okay? You knew that, didn't you, Brett? You aren't going to behave, aren't you? People are threatening you from as far away as Alabama and New York and Australia. All right. They liable to show up. All right. So we know where Hades was. We know where heaven is now. All right. And the reason why he took them up here is because the plan was finished. The promise was made, but it wasn't finished. The promise was made, but Jesus in space and time did not die yet, did he? In space and time, he had John 1:14. Title logo starts again. And the Word, the Jehovah flesh, he became and dwelt among us. That's when this happened right here. All right? And then he had to die. All right? He had to have his heel bruised, according to Genesis 3:15, and then he would be raised. When he was raised from the dead, that's when our salvation is complete and finished. He died for our sins and raised for our
justification.
All right. So he died, and when he died and he rose again, then now we get to go to heaven. How many of you learned something today? All right, that's why we did. That's how we get to go to heaven today, is because Jesus died for us. Before that, they were in a holding place. That was called paradise. It was paradise is a guarded pleasure park. Okay? The first Eden Eden in the garden was a guarded pleasure park. That was heaven on earth, people. God planted that, and Adam lost it. Gone. Okay. Now, what happened here, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, and Ezekiel 28, all right, 18 and 19, or 8 through 19. Now, that's talking about the king of Tyre and Lucifer and that other Duel prophecy, okay? And then Isaiah 7, 14, it talks about the virgin. The first one was fulfilled in Isaiah's day. The second one was when Jesus, okay? Now, let's go to the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at that. All right? Book of Revelation. By the way, Zechariah 12, 9 through 14, and, or 12, 9 through 14, 21, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, which we just studied, Ezekiel 28, Ephesians 6, 10, and 1, 15 through 23, 1 Peter 5 and 8, these are all cross-references to this. Daniel 10 and verse 13 and 21. And then Jude 9. Luke 10, 18. Job 1 and 6 onward. These are all cross-references to this verse. Okay, now I know that's a lot of verses. And we're going to look at some of them. Okay? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? In this world today.
Principalities.
World grabbers is what it says. World grabbers. World grabbers. You know what? All these politicians out there are world grabbers. Did you know that? That's all of them. Here and there and everywhere. They're all world grabbers. They're all powerful people wanting to control. World grabbers. World grabbers. That's what it says. And it tells about all of those forces. World grabbers. And then, in the book of Romans, it tells us to be subject unto the powers because God has allowed it to happen. He has ordained it to happen. He even ordained Hitler. Did you know that? And Mussolini. And all them rats. He allowed them to come on. He allowed those people to rise. Because it brought about a purpose. Everything, everybody in power today is there because of God's will. We're headed for the trash can, people. In a hurry. That's where we're headed. We're headed for the trash can. There is no group of people anywhere in the world that's going to change and thwart the prophecies of God. It's not going to happen. We're going there. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? America, for instance, is going to be in the hand and in the pocket of the Antichrist. Our people will be in the side of the Antichrist. We think about Russia, we think about China, we think about all the Muslim world. You know that all these people are going to be fighting the Antichrist? America is going to be behind the Antichrist. Right in his pocket, in his hand, in his power. That's scary, isn't it? That's the way it's going to be. That's what the Bible teaches. That's it. We think so much of Israel today. We think what? Well, through the Western nations are going to be behind Israel, and Israel, who will be headed to Israel? Who will be heading Israel? The Antichrist. There you go. That's scary. So many people won't look at it like that. Who's the temple that Israel's going to be built is for whom? For the Antichrist. There's a lot of Christian people in the world today donating for the building of that temple. I'm going to tell you, that temple is for the Antichrist people. He's going to stand up. He is going to be the one that's going to lead Israel and the world and all the Western nations. That's scary, isn't it? That's the truth. We can't. Every book in the Bible teaches these things. All right? Revelation 12, 7 through 9. Now, let's go look at that. Someone, let's go read that. This hasn't happened yet, by the way. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, Ezekiel 28, both of those happened. All right, and then also I want you to, as we're looking for that, I want someone to go to Luke 10 and 8. Luke 10 and 8. All right? Luke 10 and 8. Anybody there? Luke 10 and 8. Kata Lukon, as it says in Greek, according to Luke. All right? Kata Lukon. Kata Mathion. Kata Iwane. All right? Kata Marcos. Those are all the ones. Luke 10, 18. Have you got that, Doris? Anyone? Nope. Oh, Revelation. You got Revelation. Okay, we'll get to you on our... Who's got Luke 10? Who's that? You got it, Anna? Okay. Yes, real loud.
If you enter a town and it opens
to
you, eat whatever it is set before you.
10 and 18?
Oh, 18.
Uh-huh. Now, what happened there, the background of this, as she's getting ready to find that, is that the church went out. The little church that Jesus called out, they were sent on a limited condition. They were out. They were baptizing people. They were casting out demons and all this kind of stuff. And they were all excited because they could cast out demons out of people. The church was. The church was all excited that it could cast out demons. And then now, Jesus' answer to them in Luke 10, 18.
Okay, buddy.
Yes,
he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven.
All right. That little church was out doing all this stuff. They had power. Let me tell you something else real scary. All the apostles had this power, including Judas Iscariot. Now, what does Judas Iscariot, what does his name really mean? What is his real name? It's not Judas, is it? What's his name? What was his name? Anybody know his name?
I remember he told us, but I can't remember.
Yehuda! Yehuda. Remember that? All right, Yehuda. His name was Yehuda, or Judah. His name was really Judah. King James got all those names all messed up. It's like that in Hebrew. Yehuda. Yehuda. Yehuda means praise Jehovah. That's what it actually means. Okay? Yehuda, he had a real good name. Judah was a real good name. That's where we get the Jews are called Judah, from Judah. Okay? And his name, Judas Iscariot, or Judah Iscariot, it means man. Ish. Say Ish. Ish, that means man in Hebrew. Ish Kariot. Man from Kariot. That's where he was from. Judah Ish Kariot. Man from Kariot. That tells you where he's from, alright? So it makes out who. Now, did Jesus have a brother named Judah? Did Jesus have a brother named Judah? He sure did. Did he write a book in the Bible?
Yes.
King James made a mistake and called it Jude, but it's Judah. All right. That's another name. All of those names are the same. It's Judah. Okay? So, all right. Now, 10:18 tells us that Jesus saw Satan fall as lightning. How many of you ever seen lightning? Have you been close to it? I was so close to lightning one time, I was in the flood up in Fisher Lake Valley, and I was walking out of there. A flash flood comes through there. The river that wasn't there before was 2 miles wide, and I drove a mile into it, and I had to walk through it and get out. And I mean, lightning was every which way, and rolling thunder and stuff, but it was all up in the mountains. Nothing was down there. But here come, it had rained 24 inches of rain in those mountains. And he came down through there and washed out the road, I think, in 11 places. But here I was out in the sticks. I went out there and started walking out and had my old overalls on. I didn't even have any shoes with me. I was barefooted out there. I had gone out to the hot tub. I put some boots that I had on, some lace-up boots without socks, and started walking in there. And I mean, the water was anywhere from this deep to that deep. It's a wonder I'm alive here today. That's another one of the times that God brought me through the fire. This time it was a flood. I got out there and lightning started running on the ground. And one of them hit in front of me, I think, as far as from here to that wall over there. And when it did that, it blinded me. My retinas closed in my eyes. I could not see anything. You get a real flash like that, and it's going to close your eyes up. Finally, after about an hour of walking, I had to walk 7 miles to the road in that.
My feet were all full of mud and everything. I finally walked out of the flood and got out there, and then it started pouring rain on me. Well, it washed a little mud off. That stuff was terrible. My toenails wore off with the sand and stuff in my shoes, and just wore them off. They were just all bloody. I walked out there, finally one eye opened up, and I could see a little bit. Waved down a passerby and took me back to town. I had to leave my truck out there, went out there, and the thing was that far off the ground next day. The bottom of the tires was that high. It washed all the dirt out from underneath them, and tree limbs and brush and everything was standing. It was like up on jack stands, all four wheels. Lightning is powerful, people. Lightning is very powerful. It can just destroy anything. And lightning, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. That's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 what it's talking about now. Okay? Way back yonder. And he destroyed the earth. The earth became Boku Atuhu, it says in Hebrew. It means total chaos and confusion and destruction. Lucifer was a light carrier. He was the light of the universe. And then he became darkness. And he destroyed. All right. Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 7. Doris, are you there? Did you say? Okay. Could you read that out real loud, 7 for me?
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought, and his angels. And Brazil fought. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Okay, now, in the end, now look at this little map up here. Look at here. We got Ephesians 2:2, we got Job 1:7. Now, we know that in Job is the oldest book in the Bible, but in the book of Job, it has Satan going into the very presence of God, doesn't it? And what is he doing to us today? Well, he's seeking, according to 2 Peter 5:8, he's walking to and fro on the earth seeking whom he may eat down, devour. Okay? He's out here, people. He's out yonder. Have you run into him lately, Brother Brett? Out there at Cal State, did you run into him out there?
Yeah, there's probably some people out there that...
Yeah. How about your jobs? You got anybody on your jobs like that? Your acquaintances? How about out there on the freeway? You run into the devils this week? All right. Yeah, go down there to the police station. I was talking to a guy on the radio yesterday, and he said, I'm from San Diego. And I said, well, San Diego's a rough place. I said, you one of them criminals down there, or you one of the good guys? He said, I'm a good guy. He said, I'm a lawyer. Well, I gave him a rough time. Anyway, I think he's a nice guy, though.
That was 1 Peter what?
1 Peter 5 and 8. All right, 1 Peter 5 and 8. Walking around seeking who he may devour. Ephesians 6 and 10 talks about this also. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians, the first chapter, talks about the powers of Satan. It says in Ephesians, the first chapter, it says that God, he says, here's Paul the Apostle, picked out by God, ordained to carry out the gospel by the spiritual activating force of God. It says philematos in Greek. The spiritual activating force of God. But we have spiritual activating forces of Lucifer out there. Of Satan. Alright? Of Satan. Let's look at this old boy here. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. Now, if you go back to Daniel, the 10th chapter, you're going to find out there was war there. Daniel prayed for God to give him an answer. And who did God send? According to Daniel, the 10th chapter, and well, several different places in the book of Daniel, who did God send with the answer? We have three orders of angels, don't we? Michael. All right. Gabriel. And Lucifer. All right. And he became what? Satan. Diabolos. Diabolos. All right, diabolos, that's where we get come right out of Greek, diabolos. And it means, it comes from dia and balo. Dia and balo, we get our word ball from it.
What do you do with the ball? Throw it. Kick it. Diabolos. What his name means is to take a projectile and throw it through you. Kill. Destroy. A missile. A missile of death. Okay? That's what he is. Diabolos. Okay? Lucifer, like Harriet, to Diabolos, Abaddon. Different names in the Bible. If you got that book that I wrote, The Doctrines of the Bible, go back there and look up Satan, and I'll give you all the titles of what he does and everything. All right. Back in the book of Job, the first chapter, we find that Satan had access to God's throne. And he does today. Okay? Satan has access to the throne of God. Now, let's think about this for a while. This here, Daniel 12, 7 through 9, is some future event. It's not today. It hasn't happened. We know that he fell to earth like a bolt of lightning. And he destroyed the earth. And then God reconstructed the earth in Genesis, the first and second chapters. God put it back together. And then he created man to take Lucifer's place. What do you think Lucifer is so mad at? So mad at Adam and us because we took his place. We're the caretakers of the earth now, okay? That's right. Man, and God created man in his image. Now, Lucifer was created in God's image, spiritually and gloriously, but he did what? He fell. And God created man in his blood flowing likeness, it says, and his shadow casting likeness, and his spiritual image. Triunely. Not only was God going to didn't he create man triunely, like himself, but God promised that through mankind that he would redeem the world because he would become man. John 1:14. Brother Sudville.
Satan wouldn't create it in his physical image, right? Where are you only created in his physical image?
But he was created in his glorious image,
glorious.
As a light carrier. And Jesus said, and who are we supposed to be? What is the church today? Jesus told that little church, even before the day of Pentecost, he said, ye are the what? The light of this world. All right? And mankind through the church. All right? We know that the administrator of God's kingdom up to here were the Shemites. From here it's going to be the Japhethites. All right? Beautiful thing. There's gobs of stuff in the Word of God. You can just study that little chart from now on till you leave the world. All right. In Job, we find out that Satan has still access to God and he still has it here. What's going to happen right here? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Someone go there for me. See, we're just teaching this off the chart, aren't we? What's going to happen up there? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. At the end of the church age, the end of this administration, right now we're in the church age, the administrator of God's kingdom. If them Jews want to serve the Lord, they better go to one of God's churches, because they're not going to do it on their own. They're X'd out right now. Not until the tribulation period, and right here is when God's going to start dealing with them heavy, and right here is when they'll be administrators in God's kingdom again. All right? Who's got that?
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Let's look at it. Dr. John, you're not there. All right. Who's over there? Brother Bill. 4:16 and 17.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them.
All right, now what is that? What's it talking about? Anastasia, the resurrection, the stand again. That's when the rapture takes place, people. All the dead in Christ shall rise that have died during the church age. And all the saved will be raptured at that time. Zip. All right? Now, this is when that second thing happens. This is when Revelation 12, 7 through 9 takes place. It's right here. That's when it happens. Just think about it now. All the saved are going to be in heaven, aren't they? The church is going to be in heaven. You think that God's going to let Satan mess around with his church in heaven? Huh? No way. That church is going to be in heaven with him. All right? All the saved are going to be there, and we won't have any more trouble with old Satan, will we? Right there, he's X'd out. Now, that's the third heaven. Satan, Revelation 12, 7 through 9, is kicked out of the third heaven. All right? Does it mean that he's not in the second heaven? Is he in the first heaven? All right? These aren't periods of time. These are places, by the way. First, second, and third. I'm getting there. He is kicked out of third heaven, which is the abode of God. This is where New Jerusalem is. All of it. He's out. He's run off. And he's kicked out all him and all the demons. Now, there are spiritual forces called demons, and there are angels, and then we've got the devil. Bonnie.
When Dave asked when we die, where do we go? Are we killed or whatever? And he said, no, you can straight
to. You go to heaven now. But we're still, but right now, Satan still has access to heaven. Because we know that he is accusing us daily. Every time we do something wrong, just see there, look at what Jim did. You know, old Satan's up there. But after the rapture, after this takes place right here, that's the end of that business. He's kicked out of heaven. But he still has access to the second heaven. Is where? Where's the second heaven? All right, guys, where's the second heaven? Brett, where's the second heaven? Second heaven. Where is the second heaven? The second heaven. What is that? That's where the galaxies and all the stars and everything. So he's out there. He still has access to that. It's what we call the universe. He's still out there, but he does not in the presence of God. But he's out in the universe. I think that there's angels out there for like people. You want to talk about aliens and space guys and all that kind of junk? That's where they are. Okay? If there's any of them out there, they're angels. All I can tell. And probably a lot of fallen ones. All right, the first heaven. Where's the first heaven? We call it atmosphere. Atmosphere. Where is that? That's the abode. That's the atmosphere around the earth. That's where the airplanes fly. That's where the birds fly. All right? That's where they fly, is the atmosphere around the earth, okay? That pertaining to the earth. Well, right here, Satan's going to have a lot of power on the earth, isn't he? Right here is when he hoodwinks and gets Israel to follow him. He's their leader. They have a temple. They brought services. They're going to have sacrifices again in Jerusalem. And every one of them sacrifices is going to be blasphemy to God. I can tell you that right now. According to the book of Hebrews, what offering do we have after we have Jesus making himself as an offering on the cross of Calvary? What offering after that? Anybody makes an offering after that is what?
Sacrilegious.
It's sacrilegious, it's blasphemy. And Israel wants to go in there and they want to start their sacrifices again. They've got everything all put together, all their gold and silver vessels and all this kind of stuff, and they're ready to go and blaspheme God. That's right, what they're ready to do today. All right? Now, I'm not against Israel. I'm going to tell you that right now. There was a preacher back, his name was Augustine, way back there in the 300s. He called for the destruction, and this is in the early Catholic Church now. This is early Catholicism. It wasn't evolved into what it is today. But in early Catholicism, Augustine was one of the great, what they call the church fathers, and he called for the destruction and the annihilation of the nation of Israel. Martin Luther, the father of the Lutheran Church, and John Calvin, the father of the Presbyterian Church, called for the destruction of the nation of Israel and every Jew on this earth because they had crucified the Messiah. Now, there's a place for Israel. If they had done that, now these are church leaders. If they had got that to happen, they would have tried to destroy the purpose of God. God has a reason, a place for Israel. He knows that they're going to build a temple. The Bible talks about it.
He knows that they're going to have a false Messiah and they're going to accept him. He knows that. He knows that they will become a nation again. May the 14th, 1948, what happened? Israel became a nation again in the world. All right? When we saw that, we see the last days, basically. Israel, we see the dispersion on the chart again right here in this little green area. We see the dispersion of Israel in Ezekiel 36:16-19. And Ezekiel 36:20-24, we see the regathering of Israel. We know that Israel will be regathered. But I'm going to tell you something, even when they're regathered today, they're God haters. They don't believe in Jesus. They'll smile, they'll take your money, they'll do whatever you want they can do. They'll let you look at their cedar, Hasidor. I got a book called Hasidor, the cedar. That's the Passover dinners, all the feasts and everything like that. They'll teach you their feasts and all this kind of stuff. But I come tell you something. If they want to worship God, they better come to one of God's churches. God's churches are the place to worship God today. Not in some synagogue. Not even a Baruch Hashem. Blessed be the name. They're going to have to stick their neck in the yoke. If they're going to worship God, they're going to worship God as Christians in the church age. Their authority has been taken away from them. Here we have a lack link. We have the church raptured. We have Satan kicked out of heaven. And we have the tribulation period. And the whole purpose of the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God. Okay? To bring Israel back to God and basically to punish the nation for what they've done. In the middle of the week, the Antichrist is going to stand up in the middle of the temple and he's going to say what? I am God, worship me. And all through the New Testament it says when you see this happen, take off. Don't even go down in your house. Jump from housetop to housetop and get out of there. And flee down to the city of rocks, which many theologians think is Petra.
Also the tribulation period to bring Israel back to God, America will come back?
No. America will be destroyed. America is gone. It's America is part of Babylon. America is Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It will be. Okay? All of that, where it talks about Babylon the great harlot and all this is what is going to make up The Japhethite church, when it began, God changed from Israel. As a matter of fact, the church was all Israelis, weren't they? They were all Jews when he called them out. But the Jews wouldn't believe. Most of them wouldn't believe. And then it became a Gentile church. And then the Gentile church, according to the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church will be a church with that's a materialistic church. We find out that in church history, that the materialistic church in church history was Catholicism. What we're going to see there is a rebirth of this giant Catholic universal church. If you read over here on this chart about this new temple that they're going to build in Jerusalem, it's not a church for just Israel. It's a church for the Muslims. It's a church for the Christians. The temple's for all of us. That's what we call the Catholic, the universal. This great monopoly, it will be a materialistic time. And of course, Jesus told that church there, you are poor. You think you're rich, but you are poor. You are sick. Repent and come unto me. All right? Repent. All right? Well, and that's the church today. Even God's churches are becoming like that in the last days. And of course, what's going to really separate, when the rapture comes, you're going to find out how many of them saved or not. They're going to be churches still going on after the rapture by lost people that are so materialistic that they went down and just made a decision instead of repenting and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, salvation carries with it repentance, a change of life, a total change. All right? Let's go on now to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. And just look at that for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 6. Even Ephesians chapter 1 talks about the powers in the air. Ephesians 6,
Dr. John, are you over there? Six and verse 10.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
All right, there we are. That's what we're fighting today. But one of the after the rapture, we won't have that battle anymore. The world is doomed. Boy, I mean, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? Like the world is doomed. But it is. Read your Bible. Read the Bible. Forget what's going on in the world. Read your Bible. Find out where we are in the world and in the end times. That's where we are. It's not going to get better. The Southern Baptist Convention in the early 1900, that's what we're part of, you know. In early 1900, they said they believed in what we call amillennialism. They didn't believe in the tribulation period or any of this stuff back then, okay? They didn't know what the church age was, whatever. They were just preaching what they call a salvation message. Billy Sunday was running around, remember that, when he was going and closing bars and beating people up and smashing. Remember all that? Yeah, a little bit in church history? No, you don't remember. Anyway, that happened back in those periods of time. They were going to go in and they were going to revival the whole world. And they were going to make the world in such a great place. I'm going to tell you something. You can never legislate righteousness. It don't work. You can't legislate morality. It doesn't work. The only place you can get people to live right is from the inside. By the Catholic Church. When they went out conquering to conquer all over the Europe and the Middle East, they went out there and they held swords to people's throats and they said, be baptized or die. They converted the whole world. John Calvin wrote a book called even Augustine wrote a book called The City of God, how that you would bring in the millennium. You will get the whole world converted. And they're doing all the right things. And then God will come right down, right out of heaven and say, oh, these are my people. They say, come on, Jesus, it's time for you now. We've got the whole world converted. The Southern Baptist Convention said that they were going to convert the world for Christ and bring in the kingdom. They said, give us $3 or $4 million and we'll convert the world and we'll bring in that kingdom. Wasn't too long ago, was it, Sister Andino? You remember when there are people out there today that believe that today. They still believe it today. That they can make the world such a good place that the Lord's just going to come back and reign. That's not going to happen. The world is going like this. And we see that. Read the book of Revelation. Read it. Let it talk to you. Don't try to interpret it. Let it say what it's saying. There's going to be a time after the rapture. Heaven's going to be cleansed. Actually, heaven will be cleansed before the rapture. Right about the same time, old Satan's going to be kicked out. He will still have access to the second and the first heaven, but not into the third heaven of God. Now let's go back to the book of Isaiah, where we were last week. The book of Isaiah tells us more about heaven than any other book. All right? See, we jump from Revelation to Isaiah. By the way, let's look at it from about chapter 59 on. We have separation from God. He's telling them that they are separated from God and that, behold, the Lord's hand is not short, that he cannot save, neither his ear so dull that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have I made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he does not hear. And your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken falsehood, and your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously. I'm going to tell you something. Every lawyer ought to have to read this business. I think this is a letter to lawyers right here. Every one of their hands are defiled with blood. Your tongues mutter wickedness. No one sues. What does the word sue there mean? No one goes to law. You like this, Joseph? No one goes to court righteously. No one pleads honestly.
Isaiah 59. This is a letter. These verses are to lawyers, okay? No one sues rightly. No one pleads honestly in court. They trust in the confusion. They speak lies. They conceive mischief, and they bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs. Snake. What's the word for snake in Hebrew? Nahash. Say that. Nahash. How does that sound? Nahash. All right. They hatch the devil's eggs. Why, when the Pharisees and the scribes came to John the Baptist, old John the Dipper out there, he looked at them and looked right square in the eye, and what did he say? You children of snakes. Of course, the snake is what? The devil. He's called a snake. In Acts the 16th chapter and verse 16, there was a woman there that had the power, it says in the Greek, Pithona. What is a Pithona? Pithona. We got a word in the eat, huh? Python, which is a what? A snake. She was under the power of the great snake, in other words, evil spirits. Okay? You hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. When the white man came to this continent, after a couple of hundred years, the Lakota people called the white man spiders. Spiders. Iktami. Iktami. They called them Iktami. They said they would weave their webs, and everything that touched that web and got caught in their web, they destroyed. They call them Iktami, spiders. All right? Weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed is a snake breaks forth, and their webs will not become clothing. All right? Go on down in verse 9. It says, confusion and wickedness. Now in chapter 60 of the book of Isaiah. Glorified Zion. Glorified Zion. What is Zion? There's a Zion in Israel, isn't there? Here's Jerusalem. There's there is the Mosque of Omar. That's basically probably where Abraham offered Isaac. And right over yonder is Zion. Just a little bit away. Zion was the seat, the capital. Now what's going to happen here? We're going to have glorified Zion. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. John, are you over there? Dr. John?
Yes.
What? Read that for me, would you?
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the deep darkness, the people. And the Lord will arise over you, and glory will be seen upon you.
All right, now let's talk. What in the world is it talking about? It's talking about glorified Zion. What is glorified Zion? Come on, boys. Don't worry about it. If I go away, I am going to do what, Brother Bill? When I go away, I'm going to do what? I'm going to prepare a place for you. We find out what is that place. That's the new heaven and new earth. That is New Jerusalem. All right? New Jerusalem. That's where he wants to build. That's Zion, people. Where forever? Where is Jesus going to rule righteously forever? Where? New Jerusalem. And New Jerusalem is going to be like the what in during this period of time right here. What's it going to be? And even in eternity. It's going to be like a sun. They won't need a light. All right? They won't need a light. Because Jesus is the light in the city and it will shine all over. All right? And in the tabernacle over here, this little picture of the tabernacle up there, that's a type of the church. It's a type of Christ, primarily. Secondarily, it's a type of the church in the church age. All right, there it is. It's all covered up with cloth and everything and brown outside. It looks common. The true New Testament churches in the church age are very common. Common. But in the glorious age, the temple of Solomon was a type of the church in the millennial kingdom. Okay? Solomon's temple. He's a type of Christ and a type of the church. Not in every way now. Solomon, something bad about him wasn't just a divorce. He had a lot of wives and everything else, and he was a wild man. He went the wrong way for a long time. But his reign was a type of the millennial reign of Christ. And his temple was a beautiful temple, wasn't it?
inside of that temple. Here's the temple like this. It's kind of a rectangular thing, but there's a square in the back of it. Square. It was a perfect cube. All right? That perfect cube is the type of heaven and the throne room of heaven. Inside of the walls of this thing were, they were sewn all right and wood and everything, but what was everything covered with inside? And how were the stones put together? With what? For mortar, they used what? Gold. The stones all fit together. And they used gold. Gold all inside of this. Now, they always lightning. You see this window right there? Why do you have windows in a building?
To bring in light.
To bring in light. That's why. Now, the tabernacle didn't have any windows in it, did it?
No.
Because the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ look common and nothing to the world. You've got to get in one before you can see the glory of Christ. All right? But here, there's windows in here. But the windows are weird. And every building, back in those days, here's a wall like that. And every window, the opening of the window was bigger on the outside than it was on the inside, and it shined inward. Okay, the light shines inward. That's why you have windows. But here, the windows were backwards. It gathered light from inside, and it shined out. And what is one of the best reflectors there is?
Gold.
Gold and silver. They used to make mirrors out of brass and gold and silver. And you could see, they polish them real good, and you could see yourself in them, a perfect image. All the light of these candlesticks in here shone, and it shined like a flashlight, like a great lantern, like a lighthouse on top of Zion. All right? And that's what the Lord will be like in the end time, and that's what it's talking about in Isaiah, the 60th chapter here. All right? The kings and the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around about you and see all that gather together. They will come to you, and your sons will come afar, and the daughters will be carried in their arms, and they will see the radiant of your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. And multitude of camels will cover. Now that's what's happening in the last days. You know there's going to be a Feast of Tabernacles on this earth. What was the Feast of Tabernacles? What was it about? The Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles. In the Old Testament. The Feast of Tabernacles. In the millennial reign, there will be 1,000 feasts of tabernacles. When Israel went out into the wilderness, they lived in tabernacles. Tents. They lived in temporary shelters. God provided the shelters. Every bit of it was palm leaves, limbs off of trees. They put it up and they set it underneath there. And God would provide for them. And they would set in God's shelter. And God would feed them manna and quail. All right, out there in the wilderness. How long were they out there? 40 years. They actually, God fed them for more than 40 years with manna. He provided, ever since they left Egypt, that transition period. For 1,000 years, people will come back and they, here is New Jerusalem above the earth. New Jerusalem up here above the earth, but it's going to come down now. It's going to be right here. It's going to be shining, and the earth is going to be rotating, and the earth will see this beautiful, beautiful New Jerusalem. For 1,000 years, it's going to be illuminating this world. Down here, they will have the Feast of Tabernacles on the earth. Because the Feast of Tabernacles is that God is providing for them, and He's giving them shelter. The weather is going to be better than ever before. The whole earth will produce like it never produced, like it was supposed to produce. There won't need to be any thorns and thistles. You know, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ will be like, just like the earth will be like the Garden of Eden. It'll be like the Garden of Eden. The earth will be clean. There won't be any devils out here. Did you know that? Nothing. No influence. Why is the millennial reign going to happen? Huh?
Well,
Israel has been restored back to God, but why is the millennial reign? Why is it going to happen on earth? Why is it going to take place?
It's written.
Huh? Well, it's written. All right. I'll go all the way over to chapter 65 and 66. By the way, there's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, and how many chapters, how many books are there in the Bible? 66. Okay. A lot of people have cross-referenced that. Okay. The book of Isaiah tells more about heaven than any other book. Even the book of Revelation talks about heaven. Why do we have the millennial reign? Why? Why is it going to take place? Here it is. In time and space, in history. Why? Why do we have the millennial reign? What happened in the Garden of Eden way back yonder? Adam and Eve were in a perfect place. They had all they needed to eat, everything they needed to have, but the only thing about it is there were devils around there, wasn't there? Old devil. He even inhabited the Nahash there in the garden, didn't he? Now, Adam was supposed to guard the earth, wasn't he? Guard the garden. He was supposed to guard the garden. Did he do it? He let his guard down there. He even let the old Satan get next to his wife there. Talk to her when he shouldn't have been. All right. Man sinned, didn't he? And ever since, have you ever heard somebody say, if I'd have been in the garden, I wouldn't have done it? Huh? Well, have you? Have everybody say that? What? I wouldn't have done that. The millennial reign is to prove to mankind for 1,000 years they'd do it too. They'll do it too. All right. In 65 and 66. Talks about the rebellious people. In 66, we have a new heavens and a new earth. Behold, 65 and verse 17. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing. Where is Jerusalem going to be? Above Jerusalem is going to be New Jerusalem. All right? Jerusalem is going to be a center of the world again. Everything starts from Jerusalem. By the way, even today, everybody west of Jerusalem writes from right to left. Everybody east of Jerusalem writes from left to right. Or from right to left and left to right. Hebrew goes from right to left. That's east of Jerusalem. Greek. There's the word for God, okay, Theos, goes from left to right. That goes from right to left. Think about that for a while. Jerusalem is really the center of the world. The center of the world, as far as God's concerned. Okay? I create a new heavens and the earth. I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem, be glad in my people, and there will no longer be heard in her a voice of weeping and sound of crying. The millennial reign is going to be beautiful. Now, God, people are going to be forced to serve God. There's going to be, before the millennium and the tribulation period, 2/3 of all the Jews in the world are going to be killed. And 5 out of every 6 people of Gentiles are going to be killed. So what do we have left to go into the millennium? In their bodies, their real bodies. God, the Jehovah Witnesses always say, I want to go to the kingdom, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to the kingdom, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, I don't want to go to the kingdom. Because to get to the kingdom, well, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to have to go through the tribulation period, and every 5 out of 6 people is going to be killed, and every 3 or 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to be killed, and that's going to be a whale of a war, people. But they're going to come and they're going to inhabit the earth. People are going to have babies. Women can have 1,000 kids. Young lady, how do you like to have 1,000 kids? In the millennium, you can. A woman is capable of having 1,000 children. That may sound, but that's what your body is capable of having. 1,000. There's 1,000 little eggs in there.
Why? Eve probably had 1,000 children. Eve probably had 1,000 children. They had a lot of children back in those days. Eve had a mess of them. She populated the world back then. And then her children, they were living to be 1,000 years old almost, weren't they? All right. A woman can have a child, how many? Every 9 months. One every 9 months, or two or three, or four. Why, Cain and Abel were probably twins, or triplets. Multiple births back at that time.
I'm not sure about that, Jimmy. You factor in headaches, not moods, all that stuff.
Women are going to be a bit different over there, brother. God's going to keep them under control. He's going to keep them under control over there. They're going to be straightened out. All right? And men are going to be straightened out, too, women. It's going to be different. The final heaven. There will be no crying, and the youth will die at 100 years of age. A youth will die at 100 years of age. What does that mean? Somebody's going to have 100 years to decide whether to be saved or not. And after that, they're cut off. Gone. 100 years to figure it out whether you're going to be saved or not. I talked to one of my cousins this morning, almost 99 years old.
Wow.
Almost 99. Back in Oklahoma. They're going to have 100 years to be saved. After that, they're cut off. Okay? There will be capital punishment over there. And you know why they're going to get in trouble over there in the millennium? You know why? Because of their volition. God's going to take everything out of the way. There's not going to be any terrible, terrible sins over there. There's not going to be any temptations. There's not going to be any demons running around any place. And man is going to be bad because he's Adamic. That's what. The Adamic nature will still be there just like Adam had. And people are going to sin. There's a lot of them going to be saved. But in the end time, right over here, at the end of this period of time, what happens? Satan, Revelation 27 through 9, we see that, all right? But we see him come bouncing up to the earth also. He's going to come and he's going to go out and he's going to get his people that believe in him on this earth. And some of them have lived 1,000 years. 1,000 years they've lived. And they're still going to go out there and try to fight God. Because Satan is turned loose on the earth again for a short time. All of his forces are with him. And God is going to stamp on him. That's when we see that Jesus comes back on them white horses. Boy, the warrior. He's our warrior. And that's when he will be Jehovah Jireh. That's when he's going to be El Shaddai. That is when he is going to be our king. The Lord our banner. El Shaddai means the all-nourishing one, the all-powerful wing one. He's going to fulfill all of those. Well, we covered a lot of ground today, people. You read the rest of the book of Isaiah. We're going to go into the book of Ezekiel. And then we're going to go back into the book of Daniel. Now, by the way, I'm not covering every verse in these books. All I'm doing is introducing you and telling you what it means. We're tying the Bible together in one book where you can understand it. That's why we're going. I mean, I have taught the book of Genesis. I've taught the book of Ezekiel and Daniel, all these. But we spend a lot of time doing it. And on Wednesday night, I'm teaching the book of Romans, verse by verse. Okay? We're learning every word. And the book of Romans has got every doctrine in the Bible in it. That's beautiful. All right, you want to learn the Bible and learn the book of Romans. All right? But the reason why we're looking at this, we're trying to tie the whole Bible together. In the Bible in 8 ages, what you do is you see the purpose of God. You see what it's all about. Now, the book of Isaiah, as we look at it, we can see how that there's a tremendous book that we see with the book of Revelation. We saw how it goes in there with Revelation. We saw how it takes place in time. We saw the prophecy in it. And then we're going to go into the book of Ezekiel next week. Ezekiel is another one where we see the theophanies of God. We see a theophany of God in Isaiah. We see one in Ezekiel. And we see one in Daniel. And we see one in, which we studied in the book of Daniel already. But we've also see one in the book of Revelation. All right. Thank you for your attention for this hour. Brother David. Oh, is it going to be Brett? Brett? All right. Brett, you've redeemed yourself. Nobody is going to tell me to kill you. You've been real good today.
All right, guys. Even though we're a huge church...